up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So there are two unbeaten teams in the NFL. San Francisco staying there last night with a dominating win over the Cleveland Browns. Do we still know about the 49ers enough to put them in the top five, bottom five? We'll talk about that coming up. We also get into the Brown situation a little bit here. I don't think it's time to panic in Cleveland, but I wouldn't exactly say this was just one of those games that you would dismiss. The Browns are in a little bit of trouble, but they're a talented enough team to sort of repair themselves. I still like Baker Mayfield as a quarterback. I still like this organization and what they've built. I think it might be a Freddie Kitchens issue. Remember when Kitchens got hired, one of the appeals of it was that he worked so well with Baker Mayfield that that was the transition that the Browns wanted to use after firing Hugh Jackson, going with Greg Williams in the interim, and then when settling in on a new head coach, went with the guy that was most comfortable to Baker Mayfield. Okay. I buy that, and that's fine and all of that, and naturally a coach-quarterback relationship has got to be good. But Baker Mayfield is a professional quarterback. Baker Mayfield is a guy now that's getting paid to play the position. He better be able to work with guys who can make him better, even if the chemistry is off in the beginning. Sometimes you just got to work through that in order for the betterment of your team. If Freddie Kitchens is just a Baker Mayfield guy, you know, Baker Mayfield, not a fanboy, but you know what I'm talking about, where it's just that's his appeal, that he works well with the quarterback, that may not be enough. In the situation with Cleveland, there are some holes and they've got some problems, obviously. Baker Mayfield has got to play better when things aren't working. And you know what that means. Sometimes quarterbacks, we see it with Drew Brees, we see it with Aaron Rodgers, definitely with Tom Brady. They can still pull off ugly victories. They can still win games when things aren't working right, when they don't have guys open or they don't have a running game that's working. They utilize whatever they can to just force out a victory, even if it's ugly. And Baker Mayfield's got to learn to do that. I think that does take time. But this is an organization that still is talented enough to turn it around every single week to make you forget the problems of the week before. Going on the road and beating Baltimore 8 days ago, was a big step in showing me that this team is ready to be competitive this year. Taking a big step back last night, well, we'll see down the road how this plagues them. They've got a very, very tough schedule coming up. SB Nation AM.
Kane is in the building.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It is time to play the game you all love, and you know you love it. It is top five, bottom five. Well, me and Ron tell you who the better teams are in the league and who are the worst teams in the league by our estimations and our own metrics. I know Ron uses a very, very big algorithmic formula to determine all this stuff.
I make next gen stats look baby.
That's right. Calculus grad.
Yep.
He's got the system. I tend to just look at the standings and then figure out from there. You be the judge on where we are. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we're way off. But let's start with the top five. We go bottom all the way up to number one. And the number five team on my list, the Green Bay Packers.
Ooh.
They dominated the Dallas Cowboys. Well, Cowboys crept up in the end, but they dominated the Dallas Cowboys early, and they did it without Devontae Adams. This is a good team with a good defense. When the offense clicks, they look really unstoppable. I know that loss to Philadelphia kind of made people wake up that maybe the defense wasn't as good as we maybe thought, but I do like them. They're number five on my list. I'm giving them a nice little reward for a good road win in Dallas.
No, I'm with you. They may or may not be appearing on my list here in the near future, but number five for me, I start off with the Niners. Never put them on my list before. I was really impressed with the way they played yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, I want to see them against maybe stiffer competition, but I was really impressed with the way they handled the Cleveland Browns yesterday. That defense looked incredible.
That is where I put this. The 49ers at number four. I'm with you. I really liked what they did last night. I was impressed. I don't see a lot of full San Francisco games. I see highlights, of course, but sometimes those highlights just make you look better than you really are. Just a normal flow of a game is when you see it. And Nick Bosa's fantastic. The defense was great. Jimmy Garoppolo looked poised. A lot of it.
But that was the only issue with me. He didn't look outstanding.
He wasn't outstanding. No, I agree with that.
But
he wasn't outstanding, but he was very efficient.
Yeah.
He went through his progressions correctly, found the right guys. Kittle's great. And give them credit. Look, you're right. The schedule hasn't all been all that taxing for them.
But that's what you're supposed to do. If you're going to be undefeated, if you're going to be one of the top teams, you got to beat the top, the teams that you're supposed to win.
Exactly. And if you have a team like the Browns who struggle in the game with different things that you cause and sometimes they cause themselves, you're supposed to win it 31-3. You win it 31-3.
Yep.
Right? I mean, if a guy drops a pass in the end zone and it bounces up and you intercept it,
At one point in the game when I'm watching, ESPN had the score 28-2. And I was like, wow, how did they lose a point?
That's
really confused by that.
That's a great throttling of the Browns. Who you got at four?
I had it at four. I had the Packers.
Nice. Nice.
I for the same reasons you mentioned, when this team is clicking, this team is unstoppable.
Really is.
I could see this team marching all the way to the Super Bowl. If they play games like how they handled the Cowboys, and I don't know if it was, the Cowboys aren't who we thought they were, trying to spin Dennis Green's famous quote. Maybe they're not who we thought they were, because the Cowboys seem to have beaten all the easy teams, the teams that they're supposed to beat. They've struggled against the Saints, and now they struggled against the Packers. But that Aaron Jones, I just cannot get enough of Aaron Jones right now, how much he was just able to run over that Cowboys defense. And that Cowboys defense is supposed to be the toughest in the league, right?
They were up there. I don't know.
I put the Packers at four.
All right, number three on my list, I put the Seattle Seahawks. This was a great win on Thursday night against the Rams, and I don't want to knock the Rams because the Rams had a chance to win it, and Greg the Leg missed, and he normally doesn't miss, but Russell Wilson is an MVP candidate, and we all know that. He's an MVP leading candidate, we all know that. But four touchdowns, a great win against the Rams. That's a tough divisional game. That's a series that the Rams have had their way with the Seahawks over the last couple of years. It's not must win by any means, but it does give you a big psychological boost when you can get over that hurdle in your own division. Seahawks did. They looked good doing it. Again, can't overstate the play of Wilson so far this season, so the Seahawks are three.
Number three for me, I put the Saints.
Saints.
I'm extremely impressed with how well Teddy Bridgewater has came in and just taken over this team. You almost forget the fact that Drew Brees is injured. Drew Brees is halfway through his injury time now. When he comes back, this team's going to be even stronger. And we said it yesterday that probably the worst case scenario or the best hope scenario for the Saints was, for Teddy Bridgewater we're estimating about six games that Teddy Bridgewater will be starting for. That hopefully he was able to get two wins. Best case scenario for them was to get a split, be 3-3. He's already got three wins.
So he does.
At this point, I mean, anything else is above what was expected of Teddy Bridgewater. The Saints defense is looking solid once again. It looks like, they have a few bumps in the road, a few kinks that they need to get over. But I'm really liking the Saints. And when they get Drew Brees back, good night.
Yeah. The Saints, to me, are the number two team on my top five. I have them there for the same reasons you mentioned. Lots to like about the New Orleans Saints. Michael Thomas is great. Teddy Bridgewater has been very efficient. A different type of quarterback than Drew Brees. And Sean Payton knows how to coach that. Also, the defense is playing well at its moments against the Buccaneers where it didn't look all that great. But the defense has been pretty solid this season for them. But I think, it is the fact that Bridgewater is playing better. Remember at the beginning, when he went in against the Rams and then had the game against the Seahawks, and then the Cowboys game, it was, well, Bridgewater's got to put some touchdowns on the board. Well, he's putting touchdowns on the board. And they've got the Swiss Army Knife in Taysom Hill. They know how to use him in the right situations. This is a great coaching job by Sean Payton, because instead of panicking and freaking out that Drew Brees is out and you're going to miss him for at least six games, maybe seven, depending on where the injury heals, and all things could fall apart, They rally behind a veteran backup in Teddy Bridgewater. It's important to have that, so you're not bringing a brand new kid onto the scene who's never played in the league. Bridgewater gets the league. He knows the league. And this has been a fun team to watch without Drew Brees. I never thought I would say it.
It really is. I wouldn't believe it either. If you had told me at the beginning of the year that, Teddy Bridgewater will make it a fun-looking team, like, without Brees.
Exactly.
Number two for me, I have the Chiefs. You know, they were my number one team last week. Yeah, they stumbled against the Colts, but Patrick Mahomes is still Patrick Mahomes. Even on a busted ankle, he was still making plays. I have a feeling that, weeks worth of rest, he'll be coming right back and being his usual Mahomey self again next week.
Yeah, I wanted to put them somewhere. I was so excited about these other teams that I wanted to do what you did, which is just go, hey, look, it's not the end of the world that they lost to the Colts. Yeah. He did have a bum ankle, and he looked like a totally different quarterback when that occurred.
Right.
So that's obvious. That's obvious. On the surface, this still is a very good team. So I didn't put the Chiefs down. I completely knocked him out. Yeah. I was so excited about the Packers, and I love the Seahawks. and the 49ers are unbeaten, and the Saints are looking so good.
Yeah.
I
feel you.
It's hard. It was a hard decision because I agree with you completely and 100%. This is not a, oh God, what's wrong with Kansas City?
You totally college football the Chiefs there.
I totally
one loss out of the top five.
Yeah, you're now 13th in the AP poll. My God, we were just two. What happened? I totally college footballed them out of the top five. So I did not put them there. But both of us have the number one team, the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
And their offense isn't playing all that awesome, but they're still unbeaten.
That's the scariest thing on the planet, isn't it?
That's right.
I mean, they're not playing that well.
They get evaluated really completely differently, don't they? I mean, they get evaluated completely differently. Only the Patriots can beat the Redskins 33-7, and it's like, there's still some issues they've got to work out on the offense. Brady's got to be a little bit more sharper with some of his outlet passes.
They just got a coach fired, and we're sitting there going, oh, man, the Patriots can do so much better than what they're doing now.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, let's see. They've got to do this better and that better. Yeah, they're 5-0 and they're cruising. Yeah, relax.
Can't wait for next week.
Yeah.
When they host the Giants.
The thing about the Patriots, though, is they can afford like a little bit of, okay, maybe the offense isn't as sharp. Their defense is great. I mean, really great. So, I mean, listen, this is a team that's giving up 7 points a game and averaging 31. What do you want? Yeah. All right.
I almost feel like, next week we should just say, we're going to pick 2 through 6.
Right.
We're not doing top five.
It is that crazy.
I just feel like we're going to be doing this, time after time after time. We're just going to be talking about these guys.
Who do they got this week? They got the Giants.
Giants.
All right. If they lose to the Giants, I might knock them down.
But I
still think they're
the next
a top
3 weeks,
team in the NFL.
The next 3 weeks, they're not going to be not the top spot. They got the Giants. They go to the Jets, and then they host the Browns.
Wow. God, if the schedule wasn't already etched in stone and form and part of a formula, I would cry conspiracy with this schedule.
Oh, definitely.
Dolphins, Jets, Redskins, Giants, Jets again, Browns.
Well, yeah, the
first tough game might be the Ravens.
And I don't even know about that.
I don't even know about that either.
I don't know.
I think the Ravens got the issues too.
Yeah, they do.
God, this is great. It's incredible. Yeah, the Patriots are that good. Bottom five, who's the worst? Maybe a surprise at the bottom? Who knows? We'll have that coming up next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is time for the bottom five, the worst teams in the NFL after 5 weeks. Before we do that, one out of every four batteries, that's one of four, is batteries will fail this winter. So get yours tested for free during the Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has a Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So this is going from 28 up to 32. 28 for me, the Atlanta Falcons. were they just in the Super Bowl or was that a dream? I mean, I'm sorry. I can't believe this team is this bad with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones not hurt. There's no sub-story to this. There is no, oh, well, you know, 10 of their off defensive starters are out. Yeah, they lost Keanu Neal. All right, big deal. They gave up 53 points to the Texans, and Dan Quinn is supposed to be a defensive-minded guru. This is a bad football team. They don't trust them to win any game. The Titans looked like Super Bowl champions when they beat them at Mercedes-Benz Stadium last week. This is an embarrassment. And again, they still have Matt Ryan, and they still have Julio Jones, and they still have Calvin Ridley, and they still have Mohamed Sanu, and they can't play. So I don't know what's going on, but they're bad, and they're 28.
Yep, 28 for me. I have the New York Football Jets.
Yeah. Jets.
You know, I guess this week I'm just feeling bad for them. I mean, they have no reason to be here. I have teams on here that probably have played a little bit better this past week than they did. But I just feel bad. I feel like they're battling an uphill battle right now. They have a coach who can't coach, who's not innovative at all, who... We probably should have known this from his press conference when his eyes were focused everywhere
but the task at hand.
And, you know, and they're doing this with a third string quarterback who will probably never play in this league again. Yeah, I'm certain everyone there is just praying and hoping, when is Sam Darnold going to get back?
Yeah, and this is the latest on Sam Darnold. Darnold is having tests done. He has, because of the mono, he has an enlarged spleen.
Yeah.
If it's back to normal, he should play this weekend against Dallas. Yeah, that's the latest.
You know what?
But I wouldn't play him against Dallas even if it was normal.
That's not a game you want to come back to.
No, just let it chill out even more.
Yeah. I don't even want to have a swollen spleen, let alone in a large spleen.
Yeah, exactly. God, that's terrible. Now I have the Jets at 29. I'm with you. This has fallen apart badly. They've played four games. They haven't scored more than 17 points in any of the four games. They have a quarterback that's terrible. They're last in the league in passing. They have Le'Veon Bell, and they can't run the ball. They can't score. They give up a lot of points. There's nothing to like at all about this team, including Le'Veon Bell. It was about 200 yards so far this season in four games. I'm sorry. This is terrible. And you know what? Quinnen Williams, I don't know anything about Quinnen Williams' play this year, but didn't we talk about him as the best athlete in the draft or the best person at his job than anybody in the draft playing defensive tackle for Alabama? So if you were to grade guys based on what they did, he did that job better than anybody in the draft, according to some experts. Better than Kyler Murray, played quarterback, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know what he's done. I don't care. They give up a lot of yards. They give up a lot of points. So this hasn't been working. And it all starts with the head coach. You're not supposed to just feel like there's a give up moment. Like, coach the guys up a little bit to be competitive. They're not even close to competitive.
They're not. I gave them a little bit of a pass.
Do you give them a break because of their schedule?
I gave them a break because of their schedule. I gave them a break because they're doing it with a third string quarterback.
And they are doing it with a third string quarterback. Yeah. Listen, all four of their losses have come against some of the top teams in the NFL, in the Eagles, Patriots. Bills are really good, and the Browns. I know the Browns looked bad last night, but, I mean, it's the Browns. I mean, they're still very good.
Yeah, the Browns, I think, this year, they're just going to be that hot and cold team.
That's right. So I have the Jets at 29.
Yeah, well, 29, that's where I have the Falcons.
Good.
I thought the Falcons actually played worse than the Jets, even though they put up more points.
Oh, it's a college football game.
Because I'm looking at this going I'm with the same mindset as you had. Dan Quinn was supposed to be the defensive guru. He was the creator of the Legion of Boom. And he brought that to the Falcons, and it was good. I understand last season they had injuries. Their defense was, you know, stripped of with injuries. This year, I mean, yeah, they lose Keanu Neal again, but there's no excuses this time around.
None.
You know, we made those excuses last year. This year, this is just pathetic.
You're a Falcons fan. You should be livid at this. This is, you have no excuse for this.
Yeah, and I will be honest with you. This team, this franchise, has really been shell-shocked since they were up 28-3 in the Super Bowl.
I know.
They have never recovered.
I mean, just amazing. And again, nothing big on the slate that makes you go, okay, I get it. There isn't a Sam Darnold type of injury or they're openly tanking, you know, like anything like right. that. They were supposed to win be competitive in the South. They were supposed to compete with the Saints and the Packers. They're supposed to get back. They're healthy. They should be good.
You have one of the better quarterbacks in the league. You probably have the best wide receiver core in the league. Highlighted with, focused most on Julio Jones. And you can't do anything?
Yeah. And then, listen, we've been criticizing Dan Quinn since he drank the dum-dum juice when he left Matt Ryan out in that game.
Yep.
In that preseason where he got sacked 3 times. God, we're going to have fun with this team this year, aren't we?
And maybe they're getting rid of the wrong personnel because I was watching Tevin Coleman play for the Niners last night. He looked pretty decent.
He looked pretty good, too.
Maybe you don't get rid of guys like that. I don't know.
Absolutely.
I have no idea, but they're at 29.
All right, 30 on my list, and this is where you can just roll them out like Yahtzee dice. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah,
like at this point, there's got to be a last place team, and I got my reasons for mine. But this is where I put Washington. You could put Washington last. I don't care. But this is where you put Washington. You can make these all tied for the worst teams in the NFL. I don't even know what to say about the Redskins. They are just mismanaging everything. There's nothing going on with this football team. That's why they fired their coach. But Dwayne Haskins, if Dave Preston is right and all the rights that he won't be ready for a couple of years. I thought Dave made a good point. He's 15 games away from being in high school.
I don't want to use the word chilling, but that was chilling to think
that
about.
That was chilling to think. Imagine if you are a high school senior and you're playing your final high school game and somebody said, in 15 games, whatever it is, whatever your age is, but you will play only 15 more games before you face NFL-level competition. Put that in perspective.
And what amazes me most is when you think about that is that how many teams passed on him, especially the Giants.
That's right.
The Giants, we were saying, how did the Giants pass on? And then the Haskins just happened to fall to the Redskins?
Right. Right.
And the Redskins look like geniuses picking up Haskins. And now we're listening to this and hearing 15 games, he may not be ready for another couple of years. Like, why do they waste a 15th pick on this kid?
Why do you even bother with a guy like that? You better hope he's a Super Bowl quarterback in his late 20s. God. But like I said, there are two teams below them, but you could have mixed them up in my list.
Yeah, number 30 for me. That's where I had the Dolphins.
All right.
If they're going to tank, stop making it look like you're trying sometimes.
I don't know.
I just don't get this team. I'm not going to get this team. I don't really care about this team. This team's just going to be terrible all season long. It's getting to a point where I'm not even interested whether they're playing or not.
Yeah. I have the Dolphins at 31.
Okay.
And here's why. I once knew a young lady that dated this guy who wasn't a very nice man. He was a good-looking guy, but he wasn't a very nice man. But there was something about him that she really liked. And when me and a couple of her friends said, why are you dating that guy? He doesn't seem to be a good dude. She says, I know who he is. He's not pretending. And I like who he is. And that's it. That's the Dolphins. They're not trying to be something they're not. They're openly losing games. So I can't punish them and be angry at them. A lot of what I do in the bottom five is I feel like I punish teams for being bad, for making dumb mistakes, for being stupid at certain positions, to have expectations and then fail to live up to those expectations. The Dolphins are none of those things. The Dolphins don't pretend to be any of those things. The Dolphins never promised anything to anybody.
Yep.
They're just a bad football team that never said they were good, never pretended they were good. They're still bad. They're still in the bottom five, but they are who they are, and we know who they are.
Yeah, well said. And so that's why they're just the most frustrating team because they look like they try to do things when they shouldn't.
That's right.
Number 31 for me, I have the Redskins. And the reason why I put the Redskins here is because they don't have a coach.
They don't have a coach. That's
as simple as that. They fired the coach after 5 games. Made him come. I almost wanted to put them at 33. For making a whole bunch of people come in at 5 a.m. on a Monday morning.
Exactly.
It's terrible.
32, Cincinnati Bengals.
Can't lose to Kyler Murray.
You can't lose at home to Kyler Murray.
My God.
You can't lose to Kyler Murray at home with Andy Dalton playing the whole game.
We had
this
the Cardinals,
is nuts.
We had the Cardinals, you know, in the bottom five every single week except this one, I think.
Yeah, exactly. This is nuts that the Bengals are this bad. Absolutely abysmal. And it might be the only two wins the Steelers have this season.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, we're at that time of year again in October where all sorts of sports start coming together. Major League Baseball playoffs in full swing now. Still games going on in divisional series. In fact, three of them still undecided. You've got the college football, you got NFL football, the NBA season is about to start, preseason games already occurring, NHL is underway. So get into the game with our exclusive sports betting partners, BetOnline. Sign up today, receive a 50% welcome bonus reward on your first deposit. You can start betting on your favorite pro or college teams today. Bet on every spread and every total, winner or loser, great prop bets, who's going to win the Heisman Trophy, all sorts of different props. Get the fastest odds, updates, and payouts with our new sportsbook partner, BetOnline. Head over to BetOnline. Use your mobile device. Join today. You use the promo code SBNation55, SBNation55. Get your 50% welcome bonus. Get all action today on with BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, so last hour, I was very critical, Ron and I talking about the issue with the NBA. I was very angry with Adam Silver's comments about Daryl Morey yesterday, where he talked about free speech and free speech having consequences. I think it's a bad use of the term based on what the situation Daryl Morey was talking about. Daryl Morey was tweeting support for people trying to overthrow an oppressive government and trying to get China, who is an oppressive communist country that has killed millions of its own people. That is not a government that has had its people's back. And Hong Kong is protesting that. Daryl Morey supports that. And the NBA, because it does big business with China, I think Adam Silver made a mistake in the way he spoke. To be fair to Adam Silver, this morning he's released a statement based on the comments he made that angered people like me and everybody else. He said, here's what he has, and I'll read it. What he wrote and what he has sent out. I recognize that our initial statement left people angered, confused, or unclear on who we are and what the NBA stands for. Let me be more clear. First of all, very good on at least Adam Silver's part to recognize that, yep, you know what, the statements may have been not necessarily taken out of context, but not being understood the way he wanted them to and did anger a lot of people. I wasn't the only one. I'm sure many of you who heard it probably thought it was a bad choice of words. Over the last three decades, the NBA has developed a great affinity for the people of China. We have seen how basketball can be an important form of people-to-people exchange that deepens its ties between the United States and China. At the same time, we recognize that our two countries have different political systems and beliefs. And like many global brands, we bring our business to places with different political systems around the world. But for those who question our motivation, this is about far more than growing our business. Okay. Values of equality, respect, and freedom of expression have long defined the NBA and will continue to do so. As an American-based basketball league operating globally, among our greatest contributions are these values of the game. In fact, one of the enduring strengths of the NBA is our diversity of views, backgrounds, ethnicities, genders, and religions. 25% of NBA players were born outside the United States, and our colleagues work in league offices around the world, including in Beijing, Hong Kong, Shanghai, and Taipei. With that diversity comes the belief that whatever our differences, we respect and value each other, and what we have in common, including the belief in the power of sports to make a difference, remains our bedrock principle. It is inevitable that people around the world, including from America and China, will have different viewpoints over different issues. It is not the role of the NBA to adjudicate those differences. However, the NBA will not put itself in position of regulating what players, employees, and team owners say or will not say on these issues. We simply could not operate that way. Basketball runs deep in the hearts and minds of our two peoples. At a time when When divides between nations grow deeper and wider, we believe sports can be a unifying force that forces, that focuses on what we have in common as human beings rather than our differences. Okay, so that's Adam Silver's statement. A couple of things to dissect about this. So one, he's trying to make clear that he will not regulate what players, employees, team owners say or will not say on these issues. On these issues or any issues? I want to know that.
I think on Chinese issues.
On Chinese issues? All right.
Yeah, be a little more clear, but that's the vague part.
Really? Okay, that's a little bit vague, okay? Because you're opening yourself up now, all right? Because if you're coming out and you're saying, we don't regulate what players, employees, and team owners say, you kind of do, all right? You kind of have in the past, all right?
Yeah, so, and you kind of need to from time to time.
Every now and then you need to.
You need to step in and expel a Donald Sterling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, remember something about Donald Sterling for a second, because I know we talked about this a couple of months ago when I told you I listened to the 5-part podcast on his story.
Right.
Never forget, this league was so angered by what Donald Sterling said on a taped phone call, a private phone call, that they took his property away from him. They made him sell property he owned because it didn't fit into what their guidelines, and they were angered. And remember, too, there were owners that, while disgusted at Donald Sterling as a person and what he said, were very nervous about that power, about that ability for other owners to get in a room and expel you from the club because they didn't like what you said. Mark Cuban used to say, that's a very slippery slope that I don't know where it leads. Right? If I support a political candidate the other people don't like, can I get kicked out of this club?
Exactly.
Right? I mean, what is the slippery slope? What does this lead to? We can all agree on Donald Sterling. That's not the problem. But if it slides down to, well, we don't like the fact that you supported this guy for Congress, or you supported this guy for president, or you said this about some political issue that's hot.
You spoke out on human rights for
exactly.
Hong Kong citizens.
Or exactly, for Hong Kong citizens. We didn't like that because that was bad for business. And I agreed with Mark Cuban at the time. We could all stand behind the dismissal of Donald Sterling. He was a despicable guy.
Yeah.
But what if it did come down to, we reached a point in this country where supporting a particular issue, right? One that we used to argue about, but then one that slowly became just part of the everyday culture that nobody ever talked about anymore. What if you were outspoken against that and it just felt like, oh, now you don't like, genderless bathrooms or whatever it is that's kind of the hot button topics today. That's what Cuban was talking about. So the NBA has done this before, right? So
we'll continue to do that.
Look, I agree with Silver on a lot of things. You've heard me say this before. There are a lot of people who throw sports off and say, oh, this is frivolous, it's unimportant, it doesn't matter. You don't have to go back. You don't have to go back that far. You can find a lot of examples where sports has opened a lot of doors for bringing countries together to talk about different issues. To athletes have been used in a lot of different ways. There was one moment where, and this was before the internet, this was before the globalization of a lot of things, where Muhammad Ali was one of the most recognized faces on the globe.
Mm-hmm.
He was more recognized than world leaders. He almost had the same level as the Pope, right? There wasn't very many places on the planet that you could go to, as remote as some villages were, that didn't know who Muhammad Ali was. And he was at just the core, the heavyweight champion of the world in a sport, where it decided he was the best boxer on the planet. And yet, he had a level of global importance that people knew who he was, right? That's amazing. That's powerful. Like I said earlier, what was that quote LeBron said when he went to the Olympics? He said, I thought I was popular, but I didn't know popularity until I saw Kobe in China. Like that country is, they gobble this stuff up. I mean, they love the NBA. I can understand where Silver's nervous. I can understand where he's getting at. But at the same time, you can't appear to not care about human rights. You can't appear that the dollar is more important than what people are fighting for. You can stay out of the conflict, but we shouldn't feel like you're taking a side in the conflict. And Daryl Morey getting kind of barbecued over this was not the right look for the league. And this does spin it in a different way. It does clarify a little bit, but Do you believe by listening to this or reading this from Adam Silver that they're just that they still don't want this resolved to the betterment of their own dollar signs?
I mean,
of course,
you know,
not.
Chinese government's already suspended two NBA preseason games, and they are probably wanting to keep it at that.
Yeah,
and they're going to do everything they can. And this is one of the more PC ways of saying, like, listen, you know, we as Americans fight for our freedom. That's who we are. And I'm sorry that we said that out loud. We're going to try not to say it out loud moving forward. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You
know, but just know that as Americans, this is who we are. You can look at our history, it's not a long history, it's a brief history, but this is what we've always strived to be. This is how we were founded as a country, is fighting for, you know, our individual freedoms.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Just accept who Americans are.
Do you really want to? You mean, I get it. I know the dollars are big. I get it. So, and I understand. But imagine being a commissioner of the NBA and having to capitulate to a communist, oppressive government where you have no similar values in terms of how humans should be governed. Right.
Selling your soul.
Right. Adam Silver has to capitulate to a government that wants to oppress its people in what they think, say, and do on a daily basis, on a second-by-second basis. And he comes from a country in which that is supposed to be fought against on every level.
Yeah. Because you got to get after that $4 billion cookie jar.
That's exactly right. So as a commissioner of a global brand, he has to sidestep American values in order to make a government happy that openly oppresses its people. And the moment one of the American employees says, hey, I'm going in the other direction, we are actually having a conversation about whether or not he's going to get fired for this because it disrupted the bottom line. This is an insane story. This is an insane story that I'm sure if I was Tony D, commissioner of the NBA, I'd lose sleep over. I wouldn't be able to sleep. I'd be like, oh, God. Oh, God, I can't believe this is the position I have to put the company in.
Yep.
I have to put the company in a position where I have to bow down to China and do what they say to keep the dollars flowing in from my owners and the league as a whole. And I have to sort of openly, you know, sort of have a little bit of bitterness towards one of the employees, one of the top employees in the league, one of the top general managers in the league, because he expressed that certain people should have the right to be free. God, what a nutty story. I'm sorry to laugh, but what a nutty story this is. And Tillman Fertitta, I hope you don't even think about firing Daryl Morey over this. My God. Now, Tillman Fertitta, I'm an outsider. I forgive me. He seems like a really cool dude.
I think he is.
He seems like a really cool dude. I saw him on his TV show on CNBC where he was helping businesses.
Right.
I seen him in commercials for his casinos. He seems absolutely an NBA owner. Seems like a really, really good dude. I hope he doesn't even consider firing Daryl Morey over this.
Yeah, I think deep down, I think he is a good guy. And so I hope that, I mean, you know, again, it puts him in a tough position because,
sure,
you know, the Rockets are a huge team in China.
Absolutely. You know? I get that, too. Believe me, I get that, too. I understand.
They'll even wear a uniform that has Chinese letterings that say Houston Rockets.
Yep. And we actually had the conversation about Yao Ming's Hall of Fame credentials.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe he doesn't stand out statistically, but as a global ambassador to what he's meant to the game, his presence is a big, big bookmark into the history of this league. His ability to come here and play and open up that part of the world to this brand cannot be overlooked, right? And all of those things, I completely get it. I completely get it. But again, an absolutely bizarre story. But good on Adam Silver to at least detail why some of us were angry at the way he used the terminology, because it wasn't the right terminology to use. For somebody sticking up for free speech to then remind us that it has consequences, but to say it has consequences when you're sticking up, using that free speech to stick up for others to have free speech, was a bad, bad, bad use of the word, and he knows it and has tried to clear it up. All right, that and a little bit more as we close out the hour on SB Nation AM.
You're
listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. This hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. By the way, how would you like to be Daryl Morey realizing that you sent a tweet and the entire country of China lost its mind?
Or be Daryl Morey and say, you know what? Hey, those guys on South Park are fighting my fight with me.
That's got to be cool too, right? Like, that's got to be awesome as well. Like, Trey Stone and Matt Parker are on your team.
Cartman's on your team. Stan's on your team.
Yeah, that's great.
Kenny was on your team, but he's the first to go.
Yep, that's right. But he's the first to go. Oh, Adam Silver killed Kenny. Too bad.
Can't finish the line.
I know, right? But, I mean, that's got to, I don't know. I mean, there's got to be an ego there, right? A little bit.
There's got to be. You got to walk around a little bit taller. Do you just walk into a Chinese food restaurant and just go, yes, bring it on.
Bring it on, yeah. God, that's great.
Or is he banned? I mean, would he be recognized? I don't know if Daryl Morey would be recognized.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess now he would. He's public enemy number one.
Well, this is the guy. Over there, he's probably recognized. I'm saying here in the States, you could probably still go to a Panda Express, right?
Oh, I'm assuming he can, yeah.
The Golden Palace.
I
think every town has a Golden Palace.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. That's amazing. So, but yeah, that's pretty powerful stuff if you can do that. By the way, real quick, NBA preseason yesterday, Zion, 16 points for the Pelicans. Yep.
And one crying girl.
Did you see that video? How cool was that?
Yep.
What was the sign the kid was holding up? She won't stop talking about you. Come over. This kid wrote a sign. He came over, signed the basketball, gave her a hug. She was in tears. That is great. That's awesome.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
I hope that team is fun to watch. Like I said, I don't think they're going to be one of the elite teams in the West, but you'd pay attention to them if they were on. You'd probably go, yeah, it looks like a fun team with Zion and the rest of those guys. SB Nation Radio.